I was visiting with a pastor during some evangelistic meetings we were having, and we went to visit a church member who wasn't doing well. And while we were there, she said, Pastor, you should visit my friend because she believes that Saturday's the Sabbath. And so the pastor wrote down her friend's name and address, and we went over there immediately. Some of you will recognize this story. So we knocked on the door and identified ourselves as Seventh-day Adventist pastors. And I watched the lady's face. Instead of frowning, she smiled. Instead of closing the door, she opened it as widely as it could be opened. And she said, please come in. And as we sat and visited with that lady, she said, you know, I grew up going to the Adventist church. And for some reason, I turned my back against the church. She said, my mother prayed for me until the day she died that I would give my heart to Jesus and be baptized. She said, I think it's time for my mother's prayer to be answered. We are blessed. That's the title of today's sermon. We are blessed. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Jesus wants to save our children and us and our friends more than we want to be saved. I'd like to continue with the same idea that we were on a couple of weeks ago, how that Scripture, in a deep sense, recognizes different use of thoughts and words. We were studying how that the word house does not always mean a building, but the word house actually can mean our bodies. And in a very deep level of spiritual integrity, it's only as we allow Him to dwell in these bodies do we fully understand what it means to be thankful. I'd like to read here in Hebrews chapter 3. As a matter of fact, verse 1 is part of the Scripture that began the righteousness by faith movement in 1888. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 3. He says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. I think sometimes we want people to consider a lot of other things first before they consider Christ Jesus. Paul, he hits the target so accurately here, he even describes what he wants the reader, who is us, to consider. Verse 2. As we think about the apostleship and the high priest of Jesus Christ, verse 2, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his what? In all his house. Now, I cannot ask you the question, was that his literal house or was that his physical house of his body? Because you're going to say, well, maybe it could be a little bit of both. But certainly his household. Verse 3. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. And the one there in verse 3 is referencing Christ. For this I know of Christ. This one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Is the he in your Bible capitalized? It's a reference there to the Creator. The Creator, the one who built all things, is God. And Moses was indeed faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. And listen to this in verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm trying to be more transparent as a pastor. It's like each week I learn something. I should have known it before. This week I learned in Hebrews 3, as it's talking about if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. I've always understood that in the sense that he that is faithful unto the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, if I do all the right things that I'm supposed to do, I will be saved. That if I don't give up, that if I fight a good fight, I will be saved. Now, I know the 1888 message. But if you will take this a little further theologically, in experience more than just expressing the words, it really means that you will be saved by the constant, faithful presence of Jesus Christ as the apostle and high priest of your life. It never excludes right doing. It always elevates the one who has done the most, who is Christ our Savior. We are truly blessed to have the Savior, Jesus Christ. If you notice verse 6, he says that we are his house if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. I've got another sermon developing. Haven't put it all together yet. But In that sermon, I want to talk about holding fast the integrity of the mind until the end. If we as Christians could really develop the kind of faith that Paul writes about, that Jesus had, I really know this whole concept of the attitude of thanksgiving and the attitude of gratitude, it would be experienced and it would become more than just cliches. Verse 6 again. Whose house we are, If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. I think some people are just prone to negative thinking. For whatever reason, I don't fully understand it. But it genuinely is more difficult for some people to be an optimist than a pessimist. I read a story this week of two farmers, and one farmer said when it was raining, "I'm so glad it's raining. My corn is going to grow." And the other farmer said, "I wish it wouldn't rain. Every time it rains, I have to feed the cows in the mud." They went duck hunting together. Here come the ducks. Boom, 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 went their guns. One farmer sent his big Labrador dog out to pick up the ducks. And the dog actually ran on top of the water and grabbed the ducks and brought them back. The pessimistic farmer said, "What a sorry dog you have. He doesn't even know how to swim." True Christianity is to be able to experience life with all of its ups and downs and still be able to say that we are blessed. We are abundantly blessed. Verse 7 of Hebrews 3. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Now, I want to put a period there. I don't want to go with the rest of the chapter here. In the context of what I want to talk about, I want to stop right there. "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." I believe also, in that sermon that I'm working on, I want to talk about the concept of falling in love with the truth. There are people to be lost from our church in the last days simply because they did not learn to love the truth. And the truth will take you further than just the fundamental doctrines of our faith. A love for the truth moves you past those doctrines to the real experience of considering who Jesus really is. Turn with me to our scripture reading for this day in Psalms 95. Now, we've read this before. A couple of Thanksgivings ago, I think I may have even spoke on it in the sermon. Psalm 95. You know, David had a lot of challenges and difficulties in his life with his family, with politics, with his own self. But I think he really got it together toward the end. Would you agree with me there? Someday you may be able to sit down with David. Maybe he can quote the 23rd Psalm the way it was musically put together. I don't know. But Psalm 95 is a psalm for people of rich Christian maturity. He could say, "I am blessed. We are really blessed. He says, oh, listen, come. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with what? What is that anyway? I was in a little business week before last. And over in the corner, they have a small statue of Buddha. And they have some smaller statues around it. They have some candles burning. And they had some really delicious-looking fruit there that had been brought as an offering to Buddha. That was given in thanksgiving, I'm sure. Thanksgiving and worship. But as you and I would interpret it, it's just to a ceramic statue of a little man. Verse 3. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. We are blessed, people. He in the Old Testament here is saying the same thing that Paul was trying to say in Hebrews 3. Consider God above all other gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His. For He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Verse 6, we are blessed. He repeats it again. He says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Verse 1, He has us singing. Verse 6, He has us bowing down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. That's assurance. We are blessed. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Now, what's the very next sentence? Just read the next sentence. Today, if you will hear His voice, if you do not harden your heart. That's the same message Paul brings us to in the book of Hebrews, that if today you will soften the heart, or if you will let Jesus soften the heart, and if you will listen to Him, you may experience what it really means to have Christ dwelling in your house. That's really the only way we're going to be saved. Because if Christ is not here, then there's someone else trying to get in. I was reading in a book this week about the author who stated that if he wasn't careful, it was as if he had a sign on his forehead that said, all the garbage goes here. And he would begin to think things of a negative nature that was not truth-building and uplifting. And he had to purposefully avoid thinking those thoughts, or they would just take over. I like the urgency of the Old Testament and the New Testament. As it says, today, if you will hear My voice, and not harden your heart. Good things will happen. Great things will happen. Miraculous events shall take place. We may pray for our children for 50 years. And then they begin to do what's right. I don't know, I just feel today in the midst of all that's taking place around us, the fighting in Israel, the storms up the East Coast, the economics of the time that we live, family matters, I just still believe that the best thing a person can do is to make a decision for Christ and stay with it. And be able to say, we are truly blessed. There's a whole other field of experience. And we've not done a lot of it here on a congregational level, although I know some of you are doing it on a personal level. And that is to take the promises of Scripture and claim those unique promises for the unique circumstances in your life for a particular day. That's part of the nurturing process of keeping this house going after Christ becomes part of it. We thank you, Lord, for the season of this year that reminds us of the real Thanksgiving Day that's coming when we stand with the redeemed of all ages in the place that we call heaven and rejoice that heaven has been cheap enough. I pray for this congregation here that this week we might consider all the good things that you have for us, that you would let us experience what it means to have you abiding in this body temple. And in so doing, we truly consider Jesus Christ as our Creator and Maker and Savior and sustainer. This is a time of the year, Father, when so many voices are speaking to us, clamoring for our attention. Please let us be drawn closer to you. Let us experience some of the promises of Scripture. Let us know for sure, yes, for sure, that because of you, we are really blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.